In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, a couple guys from Missouri named Jim and Tom decided that they were going to take a hunting trip into the vast wilderness of Arkansas. Now, being city boys, their navigational skills were, shall we say, subpar. And after a while, they found themselves completely and hopelessly lost in the woods with no cell phone coverage at all. Running low on water and food, Jim started to worry. What would happen to them? Would they ever find their way back to civilization? Is this really how it was all going to end? But he noticed that Tom didn't seem worried at all. In fact, Tom had a big old smile on his face. So Jim asked him, "Tom, are you worried that we are lost and will never be found?" "Nope," came Tom's reply. "How can you be so sure?" Jim asked. "Well, I'll tell you," Tom said. "I am a member of All Saints Church in Springfield, and I give 10% of my income to the church every week." "That's great, Tom. Well done. But what in the world does that have to do with us being lost in the woods?" "Trust me," Tom said. "Someone from the vestry will be by any minute now." One thing that I have learned in my years in ministry is that you should always start off a stewardship sermon by at least trying to make people laugh. Over my lifetime, I've either heard or preached countless sermons on giving. And each one has taken a bit of a different approach to the topic, but one thing they all have in common is that each sermon talks about why you should give your hard-earned money to God and the church. And while I don't want to break completely from tradition this morning, I want to take a little bit of a different tact. And we're going to start off this morning by talking about three reasons why you should not give to the church. So number one, you should never give to God and His church simply because it is a legalistic requirement. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't standards for giving in Scripture. When he returned from rescuing Lot, we're told that Abram gave a tenth of everything he had to Melchizedek, who was the priest of God Most High. Later in Genesis 28, Jacob offers to give God a tenth of everything that the Lord gives to him. And in Leviticus 27, we are told that every tithe or 10% of the land belongs to the Lord. Proverbs 3 tells us to honor God with our wealth and first fruits. And in 1 Corinthians, Paul encourages everyone in the Corinthian church to set aside money each week to be collected for the saints who are suffering in Jerusalem. Now, if we wanted to, we could probably spend the next hour going through what Scripture has to say about giving. And I might even be able to compel one or two of you to give to the church out of a sense of duty. But that kind of misses the point here, doesn't it? Because our stewardship to the church needs to be a matter of the heart more than simply an act of the will. Now, I'm willing to bet that there's maybe one or two of you here today that at some point in your life have received a parking ticket. I won't ask for a show of hands. You know who you are. Now, when you were paying that parking ticket, did you think to yourself as you're writing out the check, "What a joy I have been given to help supply the city with much needed resources for their many beneficial services"? Probably not. My guess is you probably muttered a curse under your breath as you were doing it. And some of you may have even included a little note to whoever would receive that check in the mail, giving them a piece of your mind, because how dare they make you pay this fine? My friends, that should never be our attitude when we give to the church. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Anytime we force people to give to the work of the church, we're actually depriving them of the joy that comes through giving, not from compulsion, but from our hearts. Number two, you should never give to God and His church in order to get something in return. Stewardship is not a quid pro quo. We don't give to God expecting to get something in return. Of course, you'll always hear these stories of people who are generous to the church and as a result or maybe not receive some sort of financial windfall. When I was in college, I was working part-time at the YMCA, and I decided now that I was an adult and now that I was making money, I probably needed to start paying my own tithe to the church. And so I made a commitment that 10% of every paycheck I received would go to my church. It was easy for me because the math, you just move the decimal point one place. So good, easy math. What kind of amazed me, though, is as soon as I started doing this, I got a promotion and a raise at work. And that was certainly welcome news for me. But we should never give to the church with the expectation that this sort of thing is going to happen. If we do, really what we're saying is that God can be manipulated, that He owes us something in return for what we give. And more often than not, when we do this, we're going to be left disappointed when we don't see the results we're looking for. We need to remember that our financial stewardship is about giving up more than it's about gaining. It's about saying, Lord, I know You have given me everything that I have, and I offer back to You this portion of it. Now, one Sunday, when I was growing up, my dad gave me the offering envelope to put into the collection plate on a Sunday morning. And as I was sitting there waiting for the collection plate to come by, being the curious lad that I was, I popped that envelope open just to see how much old dad was putting in the collection plate. And I was stunned by how much money was on that check. And I knew that my dad put that envelope in the plate every Sunday. And so I did the math, and I kind of figured out how much money was going to the church. And I was a little mad. There was stuff that I wanted that I didn't have. I could have had a really nice bike or a really cool guitar. We could have gone on a wonderful vacation that summer with all this money that my dad was giving to the church. It seemed so unfair to me. I felt like I was losing out. But as that initial shock wore off, I had a bit of a revelation. You see, I knew that my dad loved me, and he wanted good things for me. And so if he was giving this much each week to the church must really be important. And that made a huge impression on me as a child. It taught me that often we demonstrate how important something is not by what we think we can get from it, but by what we're willing to give up for it. Number three, you should never give to God and His church simply as a practical necessity. Now, of course, there is always a practical component to our giving. As my college economics professor was fond of telling us every class, there's no such thing as a free lunch. Everything comes with a cost. Just to keep things going in a parish this size costs roughly $1,500 a day. And while there are some churches who are able to operate largely off of endowment income, All Saints is not one of those churches. If our regular Sunday giving went away, All Saints would go away. Nevertheless, our giving should never be seen simply as a way to meet the church's financial obligations, because when we do that, we're really putting the cart before the horse. The focus should not be that the church needs something, and I, in my great benevolence, will render that unto the church so that they can thank me for what I have done. Instead, we need to recognize that giving is something that we need. It's a spiritual necessity for our own hearts, well before it's a practical necessity for the church. When we give to the church based on what the church needs, it puts us in the position of being the master. And so we can say, well, I don't think the church needs fancy coffee or these printed bulletin things, so I'm going to withhold my giving to teach them how to spend more efficiently. Or it could be really easy to look around at all the wonderful things we have here at All Saints and think, these guys don't need my money, so I'm going to take that money I would have given to the church, I'm going to save it up and go on a really nice vacation next summer. But when we give out of our own spiritual need, it actually changes that perspective. We're no longer the master, but rather the servant. It teaches us to hold fast to the things of heaven while letting go of earthly things. It teaches us to trust God by rendering unto Him that which is most important to us. And it reinforces the fact that we actually need the church as much, if not more, than the church needs us. Now, you may be sitting there thinking, all right, we're off the hook. Honey, put the checkbook away. Father Eric says we don't have to give anymore. Not so fast. There actually is a good reason to give to God and His church, and our gospel lesson illustrates it for us. We see in Luke chapter 17 that on His way to Jerusalem, Jesus encounters and heals 10 lepers. Now, leprosy in Jesus' day was a horrible affliction, but maybe not for the reason you might think. It wasn't so much the physical nature of leprosy that was so awful, but rather it was the social consequences of this disease. Lepers were considered to be unclean, and for this reason, they were often forced to live in separate communities, isolated from the rest of society. And so when they cry out to Jesus to be healed, it's for more than just their bodies that they cry out. Jesus tells them to go and show yourselves to the priests. Under the Levitical law, it was the temple priest who had the authority to declare a person clean or unclean. So as they went away to do as they were told, they discovered that they were cleansed. The implication then is that the priests will declare them to be clean, and they will be allowed to re-enter normal society. This is a huge deal. They're not just getting restored bodies, but really restored lives. And by going to the priests, they're carrying out the legal requirements of the law. But what happens next shows us that life is about more than simply following the letter of the law or fulfilling religious obligations. Luke tells us that one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. He realized what had been done for him, and he responded the only way he knew how, by giving his very self, by falling at the feet of his Savior in absolute gratitude. My friends, we are this cleansed leper. We were once separated from God, but Jesus has taken our sins upon himself, rendering us pure and holy so that we can once again come and stand before our Heavenly Father. What a tremendous gift we have been given. How do we respond to that gift? Do we nod our heads and flip some spare change in Jesus' direction like a bellhop at the Holiday Inn? Or do we fall on our face at his feet giving thanks, offering up to him that which is most important to us? Our financial giving to the church should always be first and foremost an outpouring of thanksgiving to God for all that he has done for us in Jesus Christ, his Son. In the next week, you should be receiving in the mail a pledge card from All Saints. Please don't throw it in the trash or use it as a bookmark. Instead, take some time and pray about how God might be calling you to respond to him, to express your gratefulness for all that he has done. Forget what the church needs. Forget what you might get from it as a result, and forget any requirements that you might have in mind. Instead, look at it as a pure offering of love to your Heavenly Father. Look at it as an opportunity to participate in establishing an outpost of God's kingdom here on earth as we await his ultimate return. Look at it as an expression of unbridled joy that only comes from knowing that you are a child of the King. You see, our stewardship is not a duty. It's a privilege. It's not something we have to do. It's something we get to do. And so I invite you all to come and experience the joy that comes from surrendering even this part of our life up to the Lord. Amen.